I don't know about you, but it is really a little bit hard to believe in my brain that it can actually be December. I mean, this year just started a couple of weeks ago, and here it is. They say as you get older, it goes faster. Well, it's getting pretty fast. But our calendar doesn't lie, and we have this candle burning here that testifies very eloquently that the season of Advent has begun. And I think it is such an important season because it quietly whispers to us in the midst of all the noise and the shouting of Black Fridays and Cyber Mondays that something really special is about to happen. Something which itself is a 2,000-plus-year-old echo of what really happened when God clothed himself in skin and came down to live here among us for a while. Most people missed his first advent, his first coming. It was quiet. It was somewhat understated. But it was then, and it still is today, the greatest gift, the greatest present you will ever receive, the very presence of Emmanuel, God with us. No other God would do such a thing. At this point of the season, we are probably mostly more concerned with buying presents than we are with exchanging them, right? You got to do one before you can do the other. But if you think about it, the big gift of the incredible presence of God was itself an exchange, where God exchanged heaven for a dirty planet, traded a throne for a manger stall, handed off majesty for the mud and the muck and all the messed up mayhem of humanity. In giving that gift, there was a significant exchange as Jesus came to take my place on a cross, to bear my sins, to pay for my forgiveness, to die in my place. All so undeserved, and so unlikely, and so unexpected, and so unexplainable, except by grace and by love. Christmas is a great love story. It is a story of a present, but more precisely, it is a story of a presence. And both of those are truly amazing gifts. Let's bow as we begin this season. Father, here we are in December already. The year has raced by. Lord, we're thankful for all the ways that we have seen you in it. Lord, I don't know where exactly you're working in the hearts and the lives of people that are here this morning, but I know that you are. Maybe that very working is what has brought them here today. We're glad, Lord, to be together in your house. I pray as we consider this great gift, we will also consider the fact that it was given for us. Against all odds, an incredibly unlikely outpouring of your love, we are the recipients of your grace. What a gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have preached enough here. You guys know by now that I'm kind of a hopeless romantic. I love sappy stories, and this is my time of the year because, you know, all over television, right, you've got all these networks competing with each other to see who can produce the sappiest love stories, and I watch them, you know, too often, way too much, even though there are only six really stories in all of the thousands of movies, and you know from the very first 5 minutes, this is theme A with sub-theme B3 and ending C4, right? You know the formula, but I still watch them, right? Because I like happy endings. There's an old love story that's been around for decades. And in this story, you meet Jack and Della. They're a couple who lived in a small rented room in New York City back at the turn of the last century. They didn't have much. In fact, they were impoverished. They barely survived on their meager incomes, but they had each other. And that love made up for a lot of what they lacked. And just when it seemed things couldn't get any tougher for them, Jack's salary was cut from $30 to $20 a week. And it was just a few days before Christmas. Well, Christmas Eve came, and the couple still had no gifts for each other, but Della had long wanted to buy Jack a gold chain to go with the one thing of value that he possessed, his father's gold pocket watch. But the $1.87 she had managed to save all year was far short from what she would need to buy a gold chain. And when Della had just about given up on her plans, she suddenly had an idea. She went to a man who made wigs and hair pieces, and she sold her beautiful, long, flowing hair to the wig maker, who gave her $20. She quickly went, and she took the money she'd saved, and she bought that $21 gold chain. She returned home, hardly able to contain her excitement about this present for her husband. When Jack arrived home, he saw her closely cropped hair. He seemed shocked, stunned, in fact, even more than Della had expected. She hurriedly brought out her precious gift to explain it, the gift of a gold chain, and gave it to Jack, telling that she had sold her hair to buy it. "Oh, Della," he said. He was so moved by her sacrifice, but also by the irony of his own purchase. He then pulled a small box out of his pocket. He gave it to her without a word, and she unwrapped it slowly, and she discovered in the box a set of beautiful hair combs, intricately carved from ivory. She remembered how she had once, walking with Jack, seen them in a shop window. Of course, they had been far too expensive to even imagine buying. How had Jack been able to afford such extravagance, she wondered. Well, with a smile and a little laugh and a sigh, Jack explained that he had sold his gold watch in order to buy the combs for her beautiful long hair. And in a poignant scene of realization, they both laughed through loving tears about their now useless gifts. But both received the best gift ever as they realized that each had given up something significant. They had each given up their most prized possessions in order to bring joy and happiness to the one that they loved. They had, in so doing, received something far more valuable in exchange. Well, that is an old story. It's a beloved old Christmas story, in fact, written by a writer whose pen name was O. Henry. It's called The Gift of the Magi. You're probably familiar with it. It's been reincarnated in many different stories over the years, but I bet Hallmark even has a version or 15 of it. You remember the Magi, right? We call them the wise men. They came bearing precious gifts for the Christ child. What you don't sometimes remember is they didn't come to the manger. I'm sorry to mess up the picture. They came a couple of years later, actually, bringing those gifts. In a way, Jack and Della's sacrificial love for one another portrays an exchange of gifts far deeper than even the generosity of the Magi. Yeah, the Magi's gifts were extravagant. They were very expensive, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They were priceless gifts fit for a king. That's why they gave those gifts, right? But they only gave a small portion of what they owned. Jack and Della's gifts cost them almost everything of value that they had. So that story is a sweet, syrupy, sappy, Hallmarkish old love story, isn't it? Let me tell you a sweeter one. It's an older one. You find it in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and I bet you know it. Why don't you read this out loud with me? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You know that story. God sent. Now, you may not think of that as a Christmas verse, but it really is. It's about the sweetest and greatest gift that you will ever receive, and it's about the greatest price that has ever been paid. The candle of prophecy that we lit just a moment ago, and the prophecies that attached to that through Isaiah, foretold a gift. He said, did you notice? "To us a child is born. To us a son is given." Let's jump back to Jack and Della for a second. We'll be back and forth with them a good bit this morning. They both needed something they couldn't provide by themselves. They had no resources. They had no wealth. They had no means to get what they felt like they needed. And in that sense, they were a perfect picture of the human race back when Jesus arrived, the year 00. They needed those people back then, and we still need so many things. We need to find peace with God. They needed to be forgiven, to find a means of actually forgiving their sins. They needed, as we do, to be made whole and holy. They needed to be given meaning and purpose in their lives. And you know, of these precious things, we could not provide even one of them by ourselves or for ourselves. The only way that mankind was going to get what we so desperately needed was for someone else to provide it for us. And that, at its heart, is what the gospel proclaims. That is what Christmas is all about. Christmas opens the book to the gospel. In one sense, in their needs that were pretty desperate, in their poverty, Jack and Della are just like us, so needy. In another, through their sacrificial love, they are just like Jesus. Jesus exchanged heaven to give us what we needed. There's another love story, the oldest love story, a different version of it. Paul pens this in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. It's about the exchange. All right. Paul says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Again, not a text we usually read at Christmas time, but it fits. You want to talk about exchanging gifts? Jesus exchanged life in the presence of the Father and the Holy Spirit in order to give us what we never could secure for ourselves. Salvation and reconciliation and peace with the Father. He gave up something he already possessed in order to give us something we could never possess, not without a gift. He traded a heavenly palace for the dusty roads of Judea. He exchanged a beautiful crown for a brutal cross. All because of love, he gave up heaven for you. And for me. And there's more. He didn't only become human, which would have been a pretty incredible gift for a God to put skin on. He stayed human and ultimately gave up even his life, his flesh and blood. And those are gifts that we treasure. They are gifts that are priceless to us. As the church, we circle around the table each and every week. And we remember those very gifts. We call it communion. Today we're going to celebrate in a little different way. You have your communion, just hold on to it, and I'll tell you when we will partake together. Let's pray. Father, the table that you invite us to is truly an amazing place to find ourselves. Because, Lord, we are not worthy for this invitation. I thank you, Lord, that you look upon us with your love. And in spite of what you see there, in spite of what actually is there, you look upon us with grace and mercy, and you offer us the chance to be clothed in that forgiveness. Lord, today, as we prepare to take communion, we thank you for the body and the blood. These little elements that we hold in our hands remind us. Bread that points us to the broken, shredded flesh of a Savior on a cross. the juice that points us to the blood that ran and fell and dripped until there was none. Thank you, Father, for the flesh and the blood of that Lamb, by whose gift we are cleansed and saved. Father, help us right now just to take it all in, to focus on it as we listen for a little bit to this music. Let's just contemplate the nature of that gift. Jesus took the loaf and he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup and he blessed it and he gave it to them, saying, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant shed for you. Take it and drink." Thank you, Father, for inviting us to your table. Thank you for not slamming the door on us and pushing us out into the cold, but through the blood of your Son, making a way for us to come before you pure and cleansed and saved and redeemed. Thank you for those incredible gifts. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's continue our worship at this time. Would you please stand? Let's sing to our worthy Lamb.
Beauty that made this heart adore.
Besides the incredible gift that came to us through the cross, Jesus gave us one other thing, at least, through this amazing exchange. He gave us an example to follow. You may have missed, it's easy to miss, the verse that we read most recently from Philippians. We didn't read the whole context, but Paul starts out in that section telling them to not do anything out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. And then here is this line, your attitude. Any of you have attitude problems? I know you don't. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Your attitude should be the same. That's a tall order, isn't it? He set the standard for gift giving in giving himself. And then he told us that we are to follow that example. Boy, if only we did, what amazing force and power the church would have. What amazing health the church would exemplify in this divided world. What amazing unity. What an impact on the world we would have as the church if we followed that one command. As you consider giving gifts during the coming weeks, maybe the best gift you could give your mate or your mother or your sister or brother or friend or father or child or grandchild, I'm just going to give to the grandchildren this year. I think that's really where the money should go. Consider the gift of yourself, your time, your attention, your help, your love, your forgiveness, what a gift that would be. Your closeness and concern, When you think about the gift of yourself, anything else you might give would pale in comparison. You may have noticed we're calling this Advent series Unwrapping the Presents, Receiving the Gift. Well, as you consider and exchanging gifts at this Christmas time and consider receiving gifts, well, the whole point of Advent is that we not lose our focus and miss the meaning of the season. Because what Jesus did is amazing. It is purely amazing. It is almost inconceivable. What must heaven have thought when it became known that the second face of the Holy Trinity was exchanging glory for humanity? When word of that plan that Paul wrote about in Philippians leaked out among the angels. J.B. Phillips wrote once a fanciful story about just that called The Angel's Point of View. It's maybe not theologically entirely right on, but it's good. In this story, Phillips has a senior angel showing a younger angel around the splendors of the universe. They view whirling galaxies and blazing suns, and they flit across the boundless distance of time and space until they come at last to one particular galaxy of a meager 500 billion or so stars. Let me just read what Phillips writes. As the two of them drew near to the star, which we call our sun, and to its circling planets, the senior angel pointed to a small and rather insignificant sphere turning very slowly on its axis. It looked as dull as a dirty tennis ball to the little angel, whose mind was still filled with the size and glory of everything else he had seen. "I want you to watch this one particularly," said the senior angel, pointing with his finger toward the earth. "Well, it looks very small and rather dirty to me," said the little angel. "What's so special about that one?" The little angel saw the earth and was not very impressed. He listened in stunned unbelief as the senior angel told him that this planet, this one among countless trillions, small and insignificant and ordinary and not even overly clean, was the renowned visited planet. "Do you mean," he said, "that our great and glorious prince went down in person to this fifth-rate little ball? Why would he do a thing like that?" Little angel's face wrinkled in disgust. "Do you mean to tell me," he said, "that he stooped so low as to become one of those creeping, crawling creatures on that floating ball?" "I do," said the senior angel. "And I don't think he would like you to call them creeping, crawling creatures in that tone of voice. As strange as it may seem to us, he loves them. He went down to visit them, to lift them up so they could become like him." Little angel looked blank. Such a thought was almost beyond his comprehension. And it's pretty much beyond ours too, isn't it? Because it is a mystery. It's one thing Paul likes to say about all of this gift of, it's a mystery. And you know, any mystery I can understand isn't really a mystery. The Apostle Paul called what Jesus did in 2 Corinthians 9 an indescribable gift. Well, as we finish, let's go back to Jack and Della for just a second. Their gifts were pretty amazing. That's what makes the story work. They were indescribable in their own way. And it's because there was so much sacrifice. Sacrifice of a kind like that is always hard to believe and it's hard to understand. We don't see it very often, do we? Sometimes we see it in veterans who risked everything to help us continue to live in freedom, or others. Some of them risked so much they didn't ever get to come home. We see it in caregivers who take care of aging parents or siblings or sick children or people they don't even know. We see it in the myriad of folks who work in servant positions, like the folks who pick up your trash, that you will probably never know. But can you imagine life without them? We see it in people who will adopt children that are not their own and make them their own. We see it in generosity that shows up when people are moved to give, even sometimes beyond their means. We see it in first responders who rush into danger when other people would tend to rush out. We see it in hospitals all of the time as healthcare professionals serve in difficult situations. It shows up in the strangest places. But sacrifice stands out. How much harder, though, it is for us to comprehend the sacrifice that Jesus made, the exchange that he willingly submitted to in order to exchange with us the gift of himself that first Christmas. You know, as much as I love that sappy story, Jack and Della's lives would have gone on just fine without gifts of combs and gold chains. And as much as we get wrapped up in buying and giving, our lives would go on this Christmas even if we didn't receive one single gift. But think where you would be at this moment if Jesus hadn't given us the present of his presence in our world and in our lives. Some gifts we can live without. His gift we would die without. You know, I mentioned earlier that even though Jack and Della were very poor, their love went a long way in making up for what they lacked. Maybe through this whole story, that's the main point, even though we were very poor and sinful and weak and needy, and maybe that describes all of us so very well, and some are still in that condition because they haven't accepted the gift, Christ's love went a long way. It went all the way, in fact, of making up for everything that we ever lacked. A very long way, all the way from heaven to earth and hell and back. And there's only one word for it, maybe two. It's called grace. It's also called Christmas. May God bless you and yours as we begin this season of Advent, as we prepare to celebrate the giver and the gift. Let's pray. Father, you tell us in Romans 12 to present our bodies as living sacrifices. In a way, you're asking us to give a gift to you. And I wonder, Lord, as we consider, maybe we could ask ourselves what kind of exchange we could make this year that our life might be a fitting gift for you. Perhaps with your strength, or we could exchange anger for forgiveness. Or maybe we could let our bitterness go and allow it to turn into something better. Maybe we could release our critical spirit and change that toward a graceful focus. Maybe we could exchange hatred that fills our hearts for love that frees them. Father, maybe this year we could let go of greed and instead take an exercise in generosity. Maybe we could allow the grief that has controlled us to slip off of our shoulders and instead wear joy in spite of it all. Lord, maybe our self-worship could give way to self-sacrifice, or our petty idolatries could be taken over by true devotion. Maybe we could today, as we trust and place our faith in Jesus Christ, trade our hopelessness for hope. Maybe, Father, we could allow our chains to fall off as instead we experience freedom. So many things we can exchange. Give us the power, give us the strength, give us the ability to see ourselves as we are so that we can do that, Father, through your grace, by your power and mercy, in Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together. And if we can pray with you, join with you in anything this morning, please feel free to come down to the front. One of our elders is down here and would be honored to pray with you before you leave this morning. Let's sing together. Wonderful week.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out a worship experience here at Washington Avenue Christian Church. We're so glad that you chose to carve out part of your weekend to spend with us. And we would love to know that you were here watching with us online. So would you take just a moment, head over to our website, wacconline.org, and fill out the digital connect card there. You can let us know that you were here. You can let us know any next steps that you may be interested in taking, including but not limited to placing your faith in Jesus for the very first time. You can also let us know about anything that we can be praying about for you and with you, and I will be following up with you later on this week about those connect cards. Again, we're so glad that you chose to be with us for this worship experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace.